Hello and welcome back to the New You Podcast. This is your host Dylan Denial and I'm here to help guide you on your journey toward the best version of yourself by sharing my personal experiences, techniques, and experiments you can try for yourself.
Hello everybody. I have a very special guest with me today, my friend Anna from the All Is Mine Discord chat, which I'm always talking about. And today we are going to have a little interview, my first interview, so it's not going to be the best, but I think it'll be fun.
It's going to be a great interview. That's what it's going to be.
Yes, based on our pre-interview conversation, I think we'll have a nice fun time. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Anna? Where are you from? And what do you do for a living, which we discussed earlier, actually?
Right. I'm 30. I'm a female. I'm a conscious being in a flesh prison.
Aren't we all? Well, not really.
Well, it depends how you look at it, I suppose. I'm from New Zealand. Well, that's where I live. I wasn't born here. But that's where I live now, so I'm a bit like I said, I've got a bit of a backstory like the teacher, you know, born somewhere else, living somewhere else, like
so yeah. Who is this teacher you keep referencing? Is that All Is Mind?
Yeah, I just feel like it's easier to say.
Okay, I will refer to him as the teacher from now on.
Or, like, I like to think of him as my homie, too, because it's an interesting point that somebody brought up yesterday about, like, hey, well, he brought it up and then I added on to it about how there's heaps of people in his Discord that don't participate. And I got some DMs from some other people being, like, asking me questions because I guess I'm less scary. But people are afraid to approach him because they put him on this pedestal.
Right, that's kind of how I was at first, too. I was like, man, this guy knows everything. He's some god or something. But, you know, now I realize that he's just trying to spread his information and have us all end up like him someday.
Yeah, exactly. He's not some mystical being or, like, something that's unattainable. He's just another version of you in a parallel reality that happened to have the information before you did, basically.
Right. I like to look at him as like a example of how I could end up. Like, I don't like to look at him as some guru or something because, you know, he preaches that. He says not to make anyone a better teacher than yourself.
Exactly. We just had that conversation, pre-interview conversation about inner conversations. And that's exactly what you're doing and exactly what I'm doing. Throughout the day, we're being our own teachers.
Right, like, only we know what's best for us. We know what works for us. And I fell into that trap at first as well. I was constantly asking, oh, what method works for you? How do you do this? And I was reading and reading, but I was never applying anything. But once I started applying, I started learning from myself, and I feel like that's more gratifying than just having someone give you all the answers.
Agreed, and I think everybody goes part of that journey. Like, you either get into this because of your self-concept or a specific person or money or whatever, and then you do the seeking and the seeking and the seeking, and you think you're doing, but you're still seeking and seeking and seeking, and you're not really doing until you realize, like, fuck, okay, I am actually doing the doing part now.
That's the most important thing I've learned, is you can read and read and read all you want, but if you don't apply the information you learned, you're just gonna think everything is all garbage and a bunch of woohoo bull crap. But once you apply it, you see the difference in your life. And once you get that ball rolling, like, you don't want to stop, and you just learn something new about yourself every day.
I'm really not looking forward to hearing my laugh on playback, honestly.
I think you're fine.
No, that's just me being me. Like we had this conversation previous, let your freak flag fly is like one of my favorite sayings. Just do whatever the fuck you're going to do and just don't care how anybody is going to react. And then people will react in a really appropriate way. I've got a really good story about that, actually, which might relate because he's American. So, you know, Chris Evans, the guy who plays Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
He accidentally leaked his own dick pic like a month or two ago.
And
it was on Twitter. So instead of freaking out about it and being like, oh my God, you know, everyone's seen my dick. He was just like, you know what? Shit happens. You've seen my penis, move on. And everybody forgot about it like the next day. And everybody just had compliments after compliments. But if you remember, like, there was, maybe you're not old enough to remember, but like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was like this huge thing about celebrities' nudes being leaked online. It was like Jennifer Lawrence and a bunch of other people. And a bunch of those people reacted really badly. And the worldwide community hit really hard back, saying all these like really negative comments about them. And so I'm a big believer in, yeah, like, don't react. Just be like, shit happens, whatever. We also had this conversation pre-recording about, like, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, a penis may as well be an earlobe.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, you know, and I know a lot of celebrities are proponents of the law too, but I was like, that really helped solidify something when that happened, because, you know, even five years ago, if a celebrity leaked their own nude, like, that would have been so huge. And society is really shifting into just accepting people now, which I think is really great.
Right. And with the whole thing you just said about all those people that had that stuff leaked, do you think the people that made a big deal out of it had bigger repercussions than the people that just kind of shrugged it off and moved on and didn't put their conscious attention on it?
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, like, but it was a few years ago, but I'm pretty sure it was either Jennifer Lawrence or another female that was part of whatever. They had like a name for it. Not like Dramageddon, but it was like something like that. And it was like her or another female actress reacted really negatively. So then the nudes kept getting re-uploaded and leaked elsewhere. And lots of people were making really negative comments about her body. And obviously, at the end of the day, who gives a shit about your flesh prison or your body apart from you? Like, but I honestly do believe, yeah, because she reacted negatively, she was getting those negative comments. Because, like, since I've raised my self-image in the last, I don't know, wee while, and that's something that, like, I do, not to out myself, but, like, you know, there are photos of me out there online. I haven't had one single negative comment, and I actually, I'm not lying, not one single negative comment.
Right, because I think she was probably getting all those negative comments because that's how she viewed herself. She probably didn't find herself attractive or beautiful, and that was what was reflected back to her in her experience with all those negative comments.
Yeah, agreed, absolutely. Like, if you don't love yourself, then you're doing it all wrong.
Right. So the next question I'd like to ask what was your upbringing like? What was your childhood experience like?
Similar. Like, just, you know who Stephen King is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to joke when I was a teenager that my childhood was like a Stephen King novel.
So, not that good.
Everything that you're imagining right now is, yeah, like, I don't need to go into heaps of detail about it, but whatever the worst thing you're imagining is, yeah, that's it.
Alright, well, I won't make you go into detail about that, because I know it can make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't want to trigger anybody. It's not so much me, it's just, like, if somebody's listening and they're going through it, it's really best for us not to get into the super negative. But yeah, that's what my upbringing was like, and that is why I got into the law, which I think is why a lot of people do, because they're seeking something, an answer to something, to their suffering, to their, or a way out, you know, they're just seeking something, and then they find it, and they want to be reassured when they come to the law that there are other people who've gone through similar things and gotten themselves out of it. They just want to know that that exists, and if that exists, which it does, because you and I and teacher and everyone else has been through it, that, you know, they've got that confidence to start getting themselves out of whatever situation they're in.
Right. That kind of leads me on to the next question, which is, what led you to the path you're on now, and how were you introduced to the law?
I guess that's a two-part question. So, like I told you a little bit earlier, I started when I was 16, so that's a really long time ago now. I was really, like, depressed, and I had a live-in boyfriend, and, like, I had lots going on in my life. It was very busy, and I had, like, this massive depression hole where I just didn't do anything for a couple of weeks, and I started going through these internet rabbit holes, you know, as you do.
Yeah, and that's, I know, sort of, that.
So that's what sort of led me to Law of Attraction and The Secret and, you know, happy, positive, like, you know, we're talking about airy fairy stuff before, and that's sort of really what it is when you really get into it. But there was this experiment where they just said, try and manifest something small. And that's what I did. Like, one day I was just sitting at my computer and I was like, fuck it, I'll just try it and see what happens. And I manifested, I'll never forget, a chocolate muffin. And I was like, so stoked.
Oh man, chocolate muffin. Yeah, I haven't really manifested anything like super obvious yet. I mean, I see my thoughts projected out. I haven't had like a, you know, muffin, for example, but I can imagine that first successful manifestation, well, deliberate manifestation, it's probably pretty exciting, just knowing that you have the ability to do that.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of Neville Goddard's ladder experiment. I actually kind of tried that. I didn't really visualize myself climbing a ladder, but I heard about the experiment and I was kind of just thinking about ladders a lot. And then I went to work the next day and the first thing I saw was a dude carrying a ladder to his car. And then I opened the door and there was just a ladder standing right by the front door. And I was just like, what the hell, dude? That's gotta be a coincidence. But I'm realizing that my thoughts were projected into my experience.
Yeah, exactly. And like, when people will poo-poo about them, okay, well, let's get really specific. So I did that muffin thing and like I was just doing Law of Attraction and seek for my life results that I wanted, and I wasn't being consistent and shit happened in my 20s, and we had a conversation pre-interview about how I basically came to the law because of a specific person that like I met and they blew my mind, and I was like, they're the one, I want them, which is completely not how I feel now, but that's what got me into think, hey, you know, I was only doing it because that's what I was thinking about. You know what, at the end of the day, it just...
He's back.
Aha. I don't know if that was your ring that manifested him back, but...
But yeah, I think those quote-unquote little experiments, like with ladders or rubber ducks or what have you, I think those are just kind of there to show you that this process is real and to help you build some confidence in your abilities.
I agree, but at the same time... I think modern society is too skeptical. So that's why my suggestion is make it personal to you. So instead of, because a ladder is such a commonplace object, but like say for example, you want to see a unicorn and you want to see not any kind of unicorn, it has to be a purple unicorn. And then you go to the bookstore and then on a cover, a bright purple unicorn. Well, now you know that that is specific to you, right? There's far less chance of that happening than there is of you seeing a letter. So I can understand why Neville in his time, that manifesting a letter would have been an appropriate thing to do. But I think to get more people interested in the lore, you have to make it personal to them.
Because then, you know, if you were to do a ladder or whatever, that's kind of like, it's easier to make believe that that's like some coincidence or something, or, you know, you can kind of take away that mystic quality about it, I suppose.
Exactly.
This next question I have is, in what ways has your life improved since you were introduced to the law?
In every single possible way. I mean, I could tell you excesses a day. I don't write them all down, but like, let me rattle some off. So, or ones I think will relate to people. So, an orgasmia is one, which has no medical basis. It's all mental. And some people like me had suffered from it for years. And I literally changed it overnight. My son has a health condition. I've met basically completely away. My friendships are all better. Here's a little bit of a fun one. There's a teacher at my son's preschool that nobody likes. Or there was, rather. And she was creating all these, like, negative issues and bringing, like, all this negativity to the workplace. So I said to myself, okay, I'm just going to tell myself every day when I think about her, the only thing I'm going to think is that she's resigned. It took 13 days, and on that 14th morning, the head messaged me and she was like, she resigned, I can't believe it, she's been here for years. She's always said she'll never resign, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, of course, I did that.
It's just insane. Hearing success stories just always blows my mind because, like, just kind of gives you ideas of what is possible, which everything is possible.
Yeah.
I feel like hearing those success stories kind of gives you more ideas of what you want to bring into your experience.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just those things. Like, once you've done like that, my suggestion is aim higher. Like, I've changed my body image pretty quickly. I've changed, for example, I'm going to have surgery tomorrow and on Thursday. I'm not paying for either of those. They're both pro bono, and I even really try all that hard to manifest it. It's just when I was having a conversation with the procedure, he was just like, while he was speaking, I just had this random thought in my mind, like, it would be nice to not have to pay for this. And I'm at that point now where, like, that just happened. I didn't even have to sit there for 2 weeks doing it every day, you know, thinking every time I thought about the doctor or the procedure that he'll give it to me for free. And it's a great point to get at. It really is. But I do appreciate the fact that it takes a lot of work to get there.
So would you say that at the point where if a desire does come up, you have, like, little resistance to it and you can kind of just say, oh, yep, that's mine now. Do you say you're at that point?
With all things, of the exception of the thing we discussed pre-interview, which is, like, my block is romance and commitment and anything that involves any kind of longevity event. But, you know, here's another fun one. My son needed a haircut. This was, like, a while ago. And I honestly, the lazy queen that I am, couldn't be bothered to take him to the hairdresser. So when his dad picked him up, he said to me, oh, I think I'll take him for a haircut today. Yeah, it was good. I went home feeling very satisfied with myself because I was like, dang, I am the lazy. I'm the lazy queen. Oh my God, maybe that's the key to it. You all just need to be lazy. Lazy as fuck. Like, just can't be bothered putting, like, too much effort in. Like, a few thoughts should be enough and then it will all come to you.
I aspire to be at that point someday. I know I probably have a long path ahead of me, but I know I'll get there someday. And
it really doesn't take it really doesn't take all that long. Like, I know I said I've been doing it since I was 16, but, like, I wasn't doing this focused practice that our teacher gives us I've only been doing that for a couple of months, and you've been doing it for a couple of months, you can easily get to the same point that I'm at. You're already doing all the same things I do, all the same mental work. I think you just, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, I don't know if you think about this, but like, sometimes when you take drugs, they make you believe in anything. So if you can find what you can believe in, just believe in yourself, right? Just believe that you can do something and start building all those little believable things. And you'll be at the point that I'm at in 1 week, 2 weeks. It really won't take all that long.
Yeah, I noticed even today I was having talks where I was like, oh man, what if this interview doesn't go well? What if it's, I don't know. I was just thinking of the things that could go wrong. And then I was just like, you know what? It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I trust that it's going to turn out fine. And so far it is. So I'm starting to see how those tiny little changes in your beliefs can just make a huge change in your experience.
You got it, homie. You got it, my homie. That's exactly it. Like, as soon as that negative thought comes into your head, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And as soon as you see things start going your way, don't do what it is and give up, because then the wolves are in the room now. And now it's harder to get back. So just, as you said pre-interview, persistence really is key, right?
Right. That's been one of my major takeaways from this. You can't just... Like, when I first started, I was like, okay, I want to try to manifest money or whatever, and then I'll just give up and be done with it, because I was afraid of how much you have to do. When you think of it, it's not really work. I like to think of it as a game now. Like, you're just trying to level up from where you were even 10 minutes ago. And when I think of it like that, it's a lot more... fun, I suppose.
That's exactly how you should look at it. So when you were talking a little bit earlier about not having a specific manifestation, have you really not had like a specific thing come to pass yet?
I mean, I did this Edward art supply hands, right?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah, I know that it's like a person who posts on Reddit and is in the server.
Well, he had this little cool technique. He called it the bewilderment technique, where you basically just say, I don't know how or when I got in this reality, but I seem to be in a reality where ... whatever you want. And I decided to try it out. I was like, okay, I'll just say, I don't know how I got in this reality, but I seem to be in a reality where I see orange and green cars everywhere. And for the next couple days, as I was driving around, it was like every time I looked the other side of the road or the highway or whatever, there was either an orange or green car. And every time it would just like blow my mind. I'd be like, what?
Okay, so you have done a specific manifestation, and that is really the way to approach it. It's like, also, this dude sounds like a man after my own heart, because that is like the best lazy technique ever. Decide you're too lazy to give a shit about how or when or even the why. Just decide that the statement you're telling yourself is true.
Okay, yeah, that's I think that's kind of a block for a lot of the newcomers to this practice, is that they just can't, their rational mind tends to butt in and say, well, that's not true. Why do you think that's true? Like, that's not in front of you right now. I've learned that the rational mind is just your worst enemy in this practice.
Yeah, whatever you need to do to chuck it out the window, just do it. Just chuck it out the window, basically. Take some drugs, get drunk, I don't know, go out into a forest and meditate. Become a Karen who doesn't believe in masks. It doesn't really fucking matter how, but you do need to get to the point where you just chuck out that lesser part of yourself that is always constantly trying to challenge you. Or just don't listen to it. Like we said, do that in a conversation work. That thing comes up and says, oh, well, you know, this won't happen. Well, actually, it will fucking happen. Like, who are you to tell me that it won't? So,
I like that. I like that. Well, I guess we've
Okay. We've been talking for so long now. I think we're both kind of mentally fading.
We could just move on to another question.
Yes, please.
So, how do other people react when you talk about the law?
I don't specifically talk to anyone about it, and because when I was a teenager, I was kind of like always pushing the boundaries of society and reality anyway, so no one's really all that surprised that I'm like this, to be honest. People just view me as like kooky or eccentric, or and I just like, yeah, whatever. And if I get into a conversation with someone and they don't believe it, I just walk away. It no longer serves me, and if they're really not that interested, then why waste my time? It's interesting, like, not to trigger someone if they're listening to this, but you know, teacher did ban someone in the last couple of days for doing exactly that. Like, they were getting frustrated with people because they weren't listening. Well, instead of just dropping it and moving on like they should have, they just had to keep, you know, arguing. And like, it's, if you find yourself at that point, you're not even practicing the law yourself, you're just forcing it on other people.
Right. And something I've realized is that, I mean, like we said earlier, since your whole experience is a reflection of you, I think if you do talk to people about it and they say they don't believe it or whatever, I feel like that could be kind of a reflection of your own doubts or disbelief in your assumptions. And
true in a sense, but also what really helped me is like the teacher said, you know, there are going to be people out there that don't believe you. You're not, you can't feasibly sit here and think 7 billion people on this planet are going to agree with everything you say. But if you come across those people that don't believe in you, just manifest that out of your reality. Just say, I no longer come into contact with people who are not approachable in conversation, and just leave it at that. And they're out there living their own realities anyway. We're not thinking about those people really. So they're the ones missing out and not us. And just not to worry about it really.
Right. I think people want to quote unquote awaken, and they will awaken when their time comes and they realize that they've missed out on so much.
Yeah, I sort of feel like that now. Like, I've just hit 30. I wish I knew the absolute specifics of the law back when I was 16. I could have lived a different life. But at the end of the day, does it really matter? I mean, our bodies are designed to live, what, 100 plus years? I found the law in the first third of my life. That means for the second two thirds, I'm going to be in absolute enjoyment. So I don't really have to worry about it that much.
Well, yeah, that's it's nice when you don't have to really worry about your past anymore, because you just know your future is filled with so much good stuff now. The past doesn't really matter.
Well, it's a really good point you bring up. The past is irrelevant. So every second you're breathing, or that you're conscious, there is only those few seconds, and all the beliefs you've ever held on to up till those few seconds. You can just decide now, right now, that anything that happened in your past is irrelevant. I mean, yeah, okay, so I didn't have a great childhood. I could try and, you know, recreate my story into a better childhood. Or I could just, you know, do what I did and drop it and say that it doesn't affect me now. None of those are beliefs that, you know, served me then or didn't serve me, do or don't serve me now. I can just choose at any time that that's irrelevant.
I always like to look at it like, okay, back then there were a lot of beliefs in place that caused me to live a not so fun life that I was living. I don't have to carry those beliefs anymore. I can change how I think. I can change what I believe to be true, and it'll all take care of itself from there.
Yeah, exactly. I hate to rush you to wrap it up, but I do need to go pick up my son soon and, you know, do a few things before I have my surgery tomorrow. So is there anything on your list that you're burning to add in?
Let's see. It's not really anything too important left on the question list, but suppose I could ask you, what would you say is the most beneficial habit to build? It doesn't have to be necessarily relating to the law. It could be just any habit.
Yeah. I would say the thing that we talked about inner conversations, because some people get into this and they do the visualization thing, but then for the rest of the day, they're negating that visualization by not paying attention to their inner conversations. You know, I would rather have started with inner conversations than just living my day how I already was and then doing 10 to 15 minutes visualization at night, expecting things to change. I actually think, you know, those little things that I'm talking to myself about throughout the day are way more important and more beneficial than doing the visualization technique solely on its own.
And yeah, that's what I've come to notice as well. It's the visualization can definitely help. I don't think it's necessary. I think if you can just direct your mind in the way that serves you, that's the most beneficial thing you can do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, I'm like really fading now.
No, you're all good.
Do you want to do some kind of fancy outro there, homie?
Yeah, I suppose I can thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk
my
to me
very
about
busy
this.
Day.
I definitely learned some things from you, and I appreciate that, and I hope that all the people that listen to this have taken something away from it. And yeah, thank you for giving me my first interview on the show.
You're welcome, homie. I've always wanted to do like a podcast, or like, I mean, I like conversing with people, so like when you put the invitation out there on the server, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm gonna do this.
Oh, hey, I mean, you can always come back on. I'm pretty sure I'll do some more interviews later on.
Man, if you could get the teacher on, even though I know he doesn't like speaking, like,
I know, dude.
I would love that. I would love to, like, pick his brain about a couple of things, honestly.
You know, he's... Maybe someday, maybe we can both manifest it. Alright guys, I hope you learned something from today's topic, and most of all, I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. But before we close this episode, I'd like to mention Anchor listener support. If you find my content worthy of your money and you find enjoyment in what I put out, you can make a monthly contribution through the Anchor app. I can use this money to improve your listening experience, buy more research resources, and maybe even make some merchandise. So please, feel free to donate. Also, don't forget to join my Reddit page at r/worldwithin, where you can reach out to me and ask anything you want to know. And as always, thank you for tuning in, and I can't wait for you to join me on the next episode of the New You Podcast.